Mark chapter 4, and we're going to start out with verse 35. Let's pray. Father God, we want to thank you for the opportunity we have tonight to open your word once again. And through this brief set of verses that so many of us are familiar with, we hope that through your spirit you teach us again something new and something we can take home and something we can be encouraged and uplifted with. So thanks again in advance. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. As a prelude to where we're going here this evening, we're going to do the stormy night story tonight. Mark 4 starts out with a whole bunch of teaching from Jesus to his disciples. He talks about the sower and the seed story. He explains the purpose of parables. He explains what the sower parable and its foundation value is. You got to remember, these guys are like babes in Christ, so they're just learning everything. So he's got to take them from the beginning up. He talks about letting your light shine and not hiding it. He talks about how seeds grow according to God's will, not ours. And he talks about the faith of a mustard seed. In other words, what he gives these guys is a crash course in Christianity 101. And they're sitting around and they're going, what is half of this stuff? But basically they're getting the foundation, they're getting the milk, if you will. So now they've been taught. And after being lectured, there's always a test. Isn't there always a test? When you go to school, when you go to class, and you study the chapters, there's always a test. You never get away without a test. So we didn't like it in school. We don't like it in life. But the boys are about to be tested. And in our lives, we get tested on a regular basis too. So with that, we start on verse 35. On the same day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side." Now, to me, literally what he's doing here is he's crossing over from one side of the Sea of Galilee to the Gentile side. And as this story goes on, and as the chapters progress, you see that happening. For us, our final destination as we cross over is heaven. For us, the boat is our travel vehicle over the water, which is our walk through life, or in this case, our ride through life. So basically what's going on here is a picture of our journey as Christians after we've been taught of how we get from one side to the other, to the end. And it's obviously, as we're going to see, a stormy one. It's not a peaceful, nice, easy ride. And we'll learn why. Verse 36. Now that when they had left the multitude, they took him, Jesus, along in the boat as he was. And other little boats were also with him. As Christians, we take Jesus along with us on the ride, do we not? We hope we take Jesus along with us on the ride. We should take Jesus along with us on the ride, just as he is. But notice, and we're going to get to this later and talk about the significance of this, in this case, he's talking about there's other boats, little boats, with them. Keep that somewhere in the back of your heads, because I'm going to say the little boats are your spouses, your kids, your extended family, your coworkers, your fellow church members, the people that you're responsible for and accountable to. They're in the little boats, and they go along on the ride of life as well. And we're going to get to that here a little later then. But keep that one in mind. Verse 37, and a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. Now comes the test. In this case, it's a heavy storm. They say it's the Sea of Galilee because it's, I guess, 600 feet below sea level, and it's surrounded by mountains. When the winds come up, it gets nasty pretty quick. The waves get 10 to 15 feet high, the wind blows crazy, and it can just be a mess, and that can apparently come out of absolutely nowhere. Isn't that a lot like the storms in our lives? They just kind of come out of nowhere. We're kind of sailing along nice and easy, and all of a sudden, wham, the wind kicks up, the waves kick up, and we find ourselves in a fix. In this example, it's literally a windstorm, but in our lives, it could be illness. You go to the doctor today for a checkup and be told, hey, I found a lump, and it's cancerous. You can be tempted out of clear nowhere with the stuff that the world has to offer and fall to sin. You can get into work strife. That can be the storm in your life. You can have personal relationship issues. You can fall prey to worldly goals and focus on those instead. In other words, this isn't just for people on the boat in the ocean that face a storm. This is for all of us that are just cruising along on autopilot, and all of a sudden our world gets rocked, or for various reasons things don't go the way they're supposed to go. This is a story of how do we respond to that, and how does Jesus help us respond to that. Remember that in the back of all this, we aren't always just walking our life and we're walking the world. Behind the scenes, as the Bible teaches us, we fight against spiritual world. We fight against Satan and his dominion and his legions and his lieutenants and his powers. Satan wants to kill, murder, and destroy. We're told that. He wants to mess up individuals, families, and churches. He knows he's defeated, but he wants to take as many people with him as he can. He knows he can't have Christians, but if he can mess them up and sideline them, he's nullified them. And they can't talk, or they can't take their message, which is so important to other people that need to be saved. So basically what happens is he throws into play a lot of different tools. Doubt, deceit, despair, surrender. Have you ever started out with just plain old doubt? And then basically that left to being deceived into what the truth really is. And once you've been deceived, slip into despair, where it's hopeless. This is so far gone. I'm so much trouble. This is just a mess. And then ultimately to, I give up, I quit. He also uses, as we talked about at the beginning of creation in Genesis, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. And he goes through all that. In the garden, Eve was attracted by the apple. He used doubt to get her to believe that maybe she could be just like God. And basically through the pride of life, you can be just like God. There's all kinds of things that go on everyday life that shows examples of this whole progression of things. This is what's going to happen now. The boys are in the boat. The verse says, and a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat. So the boat was already filling up. Here's the boys in the boat. You can just see it. Peter is probably the captain. Peter, it's getting rough out tonight. Don't worry about it. I got it covered. I'm a good captain. I've been in here for years. John, go over there and hoist that sail and lift that yarn and throw out the anchor to drag us along so we're not going to get into trouble too bad. John says, okay, fine. Then someone goes to Thomas. Thomas, you think this is going to be okay? I doubt it. It's probably not. Okay, storm's getting worse. Hey, Pete, storm's getting worse. I don't know. We better give Thomas a bucket to start bailing. Thomas, start bailing out with the bucket. I doubt this will work. I don't think we're going to get the water out. Hey, what about him up front? He's sleeping. Do you think we ought to wake him up? No, we're not waking him up. We don't need him. We're the sailors. We know what to do. We've been doing this all our life. Don't bother him. Let him sleep. He had a bad day. He healed a whole bunch of people. He spent all day teaching us all that stuff. Besides, if we wake him up, he might start teaching again. So let him sleep. We'll get through this. It's going to be okay. So now the doubt's in. Okay, storm's not coming around. We're not doing so good. Now the deceit comes. Well, do you think he really cares? He hasn't woken up yet. He's got to know it's a mess here. I mean, these waves are 10 feet high. They're crashing all over the place. Thomas is up there bailing. He's hard out. And we're not getting anywhere here. Where's he at? In your life, if you're going through a hard time, don't we do the same thing? Where's he at? Where's Jesus when I need him? Where's God when I need him? If God was a loving God, I wouldn't have this illness. I wouldn't be going through this mess. I wouldn't have financial difficulties. I don't understand. Where is he at? Now comes the pride thing. We'll keep trying harder. It'll all work out. I just need to put my nose to the grindstone and do it what I know to do best. Don't you think we ought to wake him up? Peter, no, we're not waking him up. He's a carpenter. What does he know about sailing? We're not waking him up. Have you ever been there? Things are a mess. I'm not waking him up. I'm not going to call on him. I'm not going to ask him. I know what to do. I'll get myself out of this mess. Now comes despair. We're drowning. The boat's swamped. We're not making any headway. Thomas threw his bucket over the side. He's just sitting there going, I knew this was going to happen. You wouldn't listen to me. I can't do this. Peter goes, I can't do this. This is over. Here we go. We're all going to drown. We're all going to die. They've reached the bottom of the bottom. Everything's ready to fall apart. Now they've got a choice. And here's where Satan starts. He's sitting there. He's got you. He's thinking, yes, make the choice. Make the choice. Surrender. Jump ship. Abandon ship. Quit. Get out of it. Get divorced. Quit your job. Tell everybody to forget it. Just get out. Do it. Do it. Do it. Verse 37. Or 38 rather, here's what they do. But he was asleep, and he was in the stern asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Now that's not exactly what I might want to say. I might want to say, look, this is a mess. We're drowning here. Could you help us out? But the other part of this is that if you really are honest and you look in the mirror, when you've reached the bottom of the bottom and you finally do decide to call out to God, isn't it always whining? Like, what is this? Don't you care about me? You let me get into this mess. Why didn't you help me? Why didn't you show up earlier? Why didn't you do this for me before? What they're saying is, they're not saying, get us out of here. Do you see that? I don't see that. I said, don't you care that we're dying? Aren't, you know, what is this? You're sleeping and we're dying. Come on, let's go. What is this? At least they called on him. Now Satan's shaking in his boots because they didn't pick surrender. They didn't pick surrender. They decided to call on Jesus. But Jesus, instead of saying, well, why don't you go get a government bailout? Get it? Bailout? Took me a minute to get that one, too, when I thought about it. Yeah, I know. That's, yeah. But Jesus responds anyway. Why does he respond? Because we're his. And with a single word, actually two single words, he stops the storm. And he says in 39, then he arose, rebuked the wind, and said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. In reading about this, the be still is the same as a very forceful rebuke that he used for demons, where he would say, be muzzled, or in our terminology, shut up. In one word, he shuts up Satan. And all the stuff that Satan's been doing to you, all the stuff he's been doing to these guys in the storm, stops, and it's over. The next verse is really interesting. But he said to them, why are you so fearful? And how is it that you have no faith? And in 41, and they feared exceedingly and said to one another, who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him? They're actually not afraid of the storm. What they're fearful of is what he did. He calmed the storm. And they're saying, and obviously the look on their face is, whoa, what just happened here? What is this? I don't get this. Because not only did the wind stop, but the waves stopped immediately. Now, anybody who's been on water after a storm, the waves don't stop immediately. It takes a couple hours for the sea to calm down, the waves to start bouncing around. It takes a while for everything to calm down. In this case, be still, calm, done. This is something they've never seen before. They've never had any exposure to this. And remember, these guys have been on the ocean, on the Sea of Galilee for a long time as professional fishermen. So imagine, like, whoa, what is this? Well, what else would Jesus do? They obviously didn't know Jesus. They really didn't know who Jesus was. And I guess that's what gets to the point tonight. Do you know Jesus? Do you know who Jesus is? Do you know that in any storm, you can call on Jesus? Obviously, the earlier you call on Jesus in the storm, the better things are going to be. But isn't it nice to know, because we are who we are, that no matter how far you sink in your boat, no matter how bad it is, no matter how you've messed up, and how many bad decisions you've made, and how hard you've tried to do it all by yourself in your fight against Satan, that all you got to do is call on Jesus, and he'll be there. He's in the boat. The boat can't sink. You got to know that. Once you get that through our thick heads, it goes so much easier. You can say, I need you, God. I need you, Jesus. This lesson teaches us we can't do anything against Satan through our own strength. We need God. We need Jesus through our trials. We've got to have him. We can't be victorious without him. So we have to call on him anytime things are going wrong. Now, we talked about the little boats. Remember that. We talked about them being our families, our spouses, our coworkers, our fellow church members. How we handle the storms in our life affects them too. How the disciples handled this storm affected the little boats that were with them. had they decided to jump ship, every man for himself, quit and surrender, all those little boats would have gone down with them. So you're not in this alone. And we basically play this selfish thing out in our lives that it is all about us, because that's what the world teaches us. But every little thing that we do affects other people. It affects other people that we touch, other people that we're around, and everybody that we come into contact with. That alone should be enough as believers for us to jump every chance we get on Jesus as he appears to be sleeping up front in the boat and go, "Wake up, I need your help, there's a storm." So we know who this can be, that even the wind and the sea obey him. We don't have to be in the position that the disciples were in, because they didn't. We do know. You're going to have a chance tonight to rededicate yourselves to God and to Jesus, to get closer to him as we have communion this evening. If you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior, now's the time to do it, because the storms aren't going to get any easier. The life we live in today, it's just a mess. And if you don't know that, you're not obviously paying attention. And I don't pay a whole lot of attention to the media, but even I know it's a mess. And so I think more than ever, we need to be in touch. We need to have God by our side. We need God to take care of the storms. We need God to take care of the curveballs and the darts and the waves that Satan always sends crashing over our boats in an attempt to sink us. Amen. Amen. Father God, we do thank you for this night. We thank you for this word. And we do pray that we pay more attention, that we rely on you and not ourselves, that we surrender ourselves, that we die to ourselves, and that we live in the spirit and not in the flesh, and that we take on that light yoke that you tell us about. And we just ask that you be with everybody this evening, that your spirit move in the lives of those that you want it to. And for somebody here tonight that needs you and needs to be saved tonight, please let this be their night. So thanks again, in Jesus' name, amen.
We're just going to continue in worship. And guys, you've been here enough times, you know, just make yourself comfortable before the Lord. If you guys want to stand, you're welcome to stand. This altar up here is open. You're welcome to go to the back. We're just going to spend some time with Jesus tonight. Amen. Pouring out our hearts and all we are to him. In the midst of a storm or on a mountaintop, either way, let's just spend some time with him tonight.